You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
The whole key to our Christianity, the whole key to our success and living an abundant life is to know Him. But if we're not making the effort to actually get to know Him, then we're missing the whole point. And if we're postponing getting to know him until someday later on, then we're missing the entire point.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Father, we thank you. We thank you that we even have this opportunity to come on a Sunday night and worship you freely, to be able to praise you freely. Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to have thus far. And Father, would you just be able to prepare our hearts? Father, there's this analogy that I felt like was supposed to go to our youth this last Wednesday night, but as I was just worshiping and singing the song, I was reminded of it again. And I want us to take 60 seconds just to be able to listen to this, and if it sits on your spirit right and correctly, then so be it, not throw it away in the trash. But I was explaining to our youth students the importance of being able to prepare yourself. And that word prepare came into my spirit, and I just felt like I was supposed to lead this in because I felt like what Mark was getting ready to share was going to be something that we needed to be ready for. And the word threw that word prepare in my spirit, and he showed me that in order for you to plant something, you typically have to be able to go till the ground and get it to where the soil is good enough for your seed to actually start growing. And what I wanted to be able to share with us tonight before we transition is this, is that if we're not careful, and if we don't prepare that ground inside our spirits tonight, that when Mark comes to go plant the seed and the Lord comes to water it at the end with our response time, that you won't actually be able to see the fruit that God has for you tonight. And so as we get ready to head into this time, and I just want to be able to pray over us tonight, is that hopefully you spent some time preparing your heart for what God has for you, because the seed's going to come in Mark's word that he has for you, and hopefully the Lord will be able to water it at the end, because we know that he does that time and time and again. And so, dear Heavenly Father, all across this room, God, I thank you for this wonderful time that we were able to have together. And God, I pray for this word, God, not to return void, Father, for Mark to slip away unnoticed, but Father, for you to be able to speak to your people tonight. That God, that there are different individuals who are walking through different seasons of their life, and that Father, you have something for each and every one of us. And so, Father, just prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for what you have, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, I'm officially out of here. I will get out of the way because, like I mentioned, Mark has a wonderful word for you guys. So please do me a huge favor and welcome Mark to the platform.
The time slot that I'm supposed to speak in is really narrow, but then they park a door right in front of the clock, so nobody's really going to know what time it is, I guess. That's pretty cool for me. I'm excited tonight. Because as I look around the room, what I see is a bunch of friends. I know all of you. I don't think there's anybody in here that I don't know or met or haven't had a conversation with. And so the Lord has been laying on my heart a message for some time now. And Robin's kind of sick of hearing me tell it over and over again to our friends. Because when the Lord puts something in my heart, I can't get it out until it's kind of delivered. So after tonight, I'll move on. But I don't know about you guys. I love this time of year, all the lights, presents, celebrations. And there's been seasons in my life, as a believer where, you know, I had to wrestle with the idea of, you know, Santa Claus or the lights and all of the, you know, all the decorations and things and the paganism. But one of the things I've noticed is it's almost like the world is celebrating something that is so worth celebrating, but they don't actually know what it is that they're celebrating. Even though there's confusion for the world, the lights still happen. The glory of God still happens during this time of year. So Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto you a child is born, unto us a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And the Father has given us a gift. What I want to share with us tonight is I'm entitled Knowing Him. And this is it's actually more of a message for believers than non-believers, and more relates to inside the church and the challenges in a way that I'll explain here just in a second. Matthew 2, 9 through 11 says, "They went their way, and behold, the star which they have seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house, and they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." We have good news to share. A bright light has shone down upon the greatest present ever. And I want us to slow down just to acknowledge the fact that the price that the Father paid to send his Son, and the price that the Son paid so that we could be with the Father. The message I want to share with you tonight is almost not to get heaven in the way of what the actual message was, because the message that God, over the restoration, I love the fact that the songs tonight talked about restoration, is a picture of a lot of years of restoration that God used to restore us back to the Father. And as a result of that, one of the benefits of that is heaven. But I think oftentimes when I'm listening in Christian circles and hearing people talk, there seems to be more of an emphasis on going to heaven than there is, and that gift, than actually what the purpose was, which was that we'd be restored back to where Adam was in the garden. And if we get caught up in too much talk about heaven, then we lose the whole point of the price that was paid, and we come to it in a very consumeristic type way. So I want to tell you a little bit very quickly here about my conversion experience, and I'll do the short version of it. And that is that a young man a couple of doors down from me, who I used to hang out with his brothers and a bunch of other kids on my block. I grew up in Los Angeles, and so there was just like kids everywhere. A block would have 20 or 30 kids on it. And there was this one kid from a Spanish family. I think they had like 8 or 9 kids. And this particular kid, I didn't hang out with that much because he was younger. But first, I don't even know why, but in thinking back, he came to my house one day and he says, "I was somewhere and I heard this message, and I got to play this for you." And so back then we had cassette tapes, and he played this cassette tape. It was a guy named Mike Warnke. For some of the people in the room, you may know who that is, but he was an evangelist. It was very effective during that period of time. And when it got to the end of the tape, and to explain to you how salvation happened, how you could receive Jesus as your Savior, it says, "So if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior," and the tape ended. Now, in some of your minds, if you're cassette people, you're thinking the tape broke and went flop, 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 flop. But it didn't do that. It just, for some reason on this recording, there wasn't the answer. And so he had talked about heaven and hell, and when Jesus comes back, and Armageddon, and the whole nine yards. And I, as a 17-year-old, just about to turn 18, I was scared to death. And I really kind of, as I look back on it, I was searching for Jesus. And so the gospel fell on my heart when I did get a chance to have a pastor lead me to the Lord. But the reality was that the tactic back then was very common to talk more about heaven and hell than good news. The good news was, if you accept Jesus, you won't be going to hell. So there wasn't really, it was, anyway, you guys get the point. And so it was a very interesting time. This was kind of back in the 70s and the 80s. I got saved in 79, the summer of 79. There was a program called Evangelism Explosion that was a course that I took to learn how to be able to share the gospel. It came with a bunch of information, and then you'd cut out these little cards, and there was scripturing, witnessing things on them, and you put them on a little ring, and then when you went to first-time visitor calls back then would be you'd knock on somebody's door. They didn't necessarily know you were coming. They had visited your church. You kind of did practically forced entry in the house, and I don't know. Anyway, the idea was to have conversations with people to manipulate them as best as you could into having a conversation that led to heaven and hell, and them having to make the choice there before you and the other three people that were on the team against the one person that you were sharing the gospel with to accept the Lord or go to hell. And this was kind of what I grew up with. And it was a little bit awkward. I did come up with my own system, and I figured out that there was a different kind of good news that I could share it in a different way, and I was able to go down to the beach in the evenings and on the weekends and use my skateboard or my skates or whatever and talk with people. And that was really effective. About somewhere between 90 and 100 people I was able to bring to the Lord in a couple of years' time, and it was really a cool kind of a thing. But the idea that I'm trying to bring here to you guys tonight is if we sell the gospel to people as, and we are consumers, we're Westerners. So consequently, it's a really good bargain to get eternal life if you're looking for sort of a moral straight or a moral stretch that you would want to be on. And so it doesn't surprise me still that there's a lot of conversations that I hear where people are talking about, I'm going to heaven, I really think this person's going to hell. And the conversations are a lot about heaven and hell. And I believe there's a correction that needs to be made slightly. And that the message really was that Adam and Eve fell. And there was a brokenness that happened in that relationship between them and God. And the whole picture has been a restoration and a price that was paid by the Father sending his Son and by his Son being obedient that we have traded in for not having to go to hell and going to heaven someday. And I'd like to share some scriptures with you tonight to be able to talk about that. So this scripture is John 17, and it's verses 2 through 3. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now this is eternal life, and please, if you don't hear anything else tonight, please hear this scripture. It's a landmark scripture for me personally. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing God is the whole key. It's the whole thing. Jesus said that knowing him is eternal life. Knowing the Father is eternal life. I hear many conversations about believers. I talked about that a second ago. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. The whole key to our Christianity, the whole key to our success and living an abundant life is to know him. It's through going to church, we're getting direction to know him. Through the other resources that we have, we can know him. But if we're not making the effort to actually get to know him, then we're missing the whole point. And if we're postponing getting to know him until someday later on, then we're missing the entire point. This scripture is very interesting to me. He says, plainly, I never knew you, away from me, evildoers. When we look at the next two scriptures, how can this be that he would not know us? So listen to this scripture. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, if he knew Jeremiah before he was even knit together in his mother's womb, then how can he be saying in this other thing, depart from me, I don't know you? That's kind of strange, isn't it? Galatians 1:15, this is Paul talking. He says, but when he who set me apart, even from my mother's womb, called me through his grace. Again, from his mother's womb, that it was designated what would happen. It's very obvious that God knows us. He's our maker. He knows us so intimately that before we can have an existence, he already knows us. So it's not that he doesn't know us. It's that we're not pursuing him. When that scripture says, depart from me, I don't know you. You can do all the great things in Jesus' name. But the point is, if you don't know him and you're looking forward to heaven someday, you're actually gambling. The reason the Father sent the Son and the reason the Son came was not first that we would have eternal life, but that a relationship with the Father would be restored. Remember in the Bible it says that to know the Father is eternal life. To know the Father is eternal life. You want eternal life? You don't have to worry about eternal life if you know the Father. He is life. He's going to live forever. If you partner with him, you're going to partner with eternal life. You're going to partner with him. It's a byproduct of being in his presence. Think about often Christians talk about going to heaven versus getting to know the Father, or even heaven versus hell, instead of being with him versus being separated from him. I hear conversations like weekly where we as believers will be talking about heaven, and I don't hear too often about believers talking to me about, you are not going to believe what God is showing me when I'm in his presence. So there's a big focus as us being consumer type Christians, all of us, me included, to focus on the eternal value versus actually what the purpose was of that restoration. And I really believe in a lot of ways we've kind of traded off a little bit. And as long as we maintain the path to knowing him, like I said, it'll be eternal life will be an automatic. But the goal is first and foremost knowing him. A great price has been paid to restore our relationship back to our maker. So it's not about going to heaven. It's about knowing him. The whole gift that we have received through Jesus is not that we live forever, but that we know the Father forever and automatically live with him forever then. Remember, Jesus said, I don't know you to those who did not seek him out. He says, I don't know you, you workers of iniquity. But because they were only doing the things and they didn't know him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all mankind unto me. In a conversation I was having with the Father the other day, he showed me a picture of Genesis 3:22 through 24. Now, this is something I had not visualized before in my walk, and I just want to share this with you guys. This I like what Chase said about the word that the Lord gave him earlier. He showed me this. I'm going to share it with you. You do with it what you will, but it was impactful for me. It says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, and he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. I want you to think about this as believers in reverse. If the things that transpired the way that they did because of the fall of man and because of sin, then once the restoration part has now happened between us and Jesus, now that process is being entitled. It's switched around now, and it's the other way. He said to me that heaven, that is God, when he was speaking to me the other day, heaven, Eden, is open now, and instead of being driven out, what we're being is drawn or invited back in. And I've never really thought about this part of scripture. I'm like, well, if this is what caused us to go out, then what happens when the restoration happens and we're back and we have that connection and we can go back in the garden, we can go back in with the Father? In fact, he told me that every resource in heaven is available to us now. There's nothing in heaven that is not is a resource that was not available to us. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," this is Jesus, "who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." He's given us that access back. Not he will bless us, but rather he has blessed us. It's done. If we were driven out because of a break in relationship, then now through the gift of Jesus, we are now ushered back in. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom," or more easily put, "Seek first the king." Jesus also said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." More easily understood, I am the way to the truth and the author of life. If the worship team could come back up. Let's remember this holiday season that unto us a child is born, but that he would pay the greatest price ever for us. We don't want to squander it on the consumerist idea of heaven someday and getting to know the Father then. Heaven and eternal life are only a couple of the benefits of knowing him in the most personal and intimate way. Like the lighting of the trees at Christmas time, we as a worldwide people, we have been unplugged until 2024 years ago. But now we have the opportunity to choose to be plugged in again, shining before the world as his image bearers, as to who God is to this world, to our community, to Grants Pass. It should never be about us and about what we are getting, but about how great the author of life is. It's not about heaven someday, but that knowing him now is eternal life. I encourage you to press in and to know him. Think about that concept of Eden and in reverse, and we're coming back out of the wilderness where we have been exited outside the garden, and now the restoration process is underway, and you can turn around and come back out of the wilderness and start to enter back into the garden. And you know what? Symbolically, we can eat from the tree of life. It's being reserved in the book of Revelation for a time when Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, comes down. But God is inviting us back into the garden. There's nothing that prohibits us right now from being able to have the relationship with him that Adam did before the fall. And I encourage you to set your mind towards entering back into the garden now that it's been reversed. Chase, would you come and close this, please?
If you guys need me, you should understand all across this place. I just have a couple of notes here that I want to be able to share. But before we do so, Jerome, if you could just lead us in a portion of a song, whatever you feel that's on your heart, and then we'll officially close in a time of reflection and some prayer. Just a couple of the notes that I had when Mark was sharing, and things that I'm going to go home and think about. How often am I looking at the kingdom and not the king? Am I in the way that I'm evangelizing, focusing on the eternal vacation, or am I focusing on the relationship that we have with Him? Am I too focused on the benefits and not the Lord Himself? I love the perspective shift. Man, perspective is powerful. And I love the perspective shift tonight. So, Father, all across this place, God, as we, man, just have an opportunity to be able to go dive into your word, to go share the good news with others, as we even have time to reflect and maybe change our perspective as we leave this brick and mortar, and God, and go out to be able to reach more people for you. God, would you just continue to be able to have that thought, man, just resonate with us, that Father, as we receive that in our hearts, God, receive that in our minds tonight, would we be able to allow this to be a seed that now we can go plant with to someone else? That Father, it's not just about the eternal life. God, it's a great benefit. It's a wonderful gift. It's a blessing. But Father, we want that relationship with you. And so Father, as we go out through this Christmas season, as we have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be able to share your good news in a season where a lot of people are experiencing loss or have experienced loss, Father, would you be able to have us share that perspective with others? That Father, it's not about the kingdom, even though it's great, and that's an aspect of it. But Father, it's about you. It's that relationship with you. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful word. We thank you for watering it tonight. And Father, would you just be able to stay with us throughout as we go out throughout this week, throughout our workplaces, God, throughout our restaurants, God, when we're in the grocery store, open up doors for us to be able to share that good news. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You guys are awesome. We will see you guys officially Wednesday night. If not, we'll see you guys next Sunday. We have a whole bunch of different ministries, including our Christmas parties. Otherwise, you guys can feel free to hang out for a few minutes as the band continues to play.